says T-bill rates drop as government reduces domestic borrowing. So rates of government's primary borrowing instrument, the Treasury bill, have fallen sharply to their lowest levels in 20 months, signaling a reduction in the government's appetite for borrowing from the domestic market. And the benchmark 91-day bill rate eased to 20.79% in the latest auction, down from 28.34% in the last 50 days from last Friday. And this marks a significant milestone in the country's economic recovery, as the rate has not been this low since May 8, 2023, when it stood at 20.2%. Okay, and we're told that a drop in the benchmark rate is as a result of less government borrowing from the domestic market. It could also mean that access to credit by businesses and individuals can now be easier and cheaper. Yes, and I've seen there's a lot of conversation.
There's debate on social media and some of the market watchers. I mean, the argument is actually, when did this thing start dropping? Did it start from last year? And also the fact that then government as an entity, I'm using government here as an entity, then started meeting their obligations when it comes to these debts that are maturing, both the euro bonds and the bonds, and the signaling effect for the investors that, okay, then these commitments will be met, so let me still start buying more. There are also some who are arguing that the elections played a factor. So now that we've crossed that hurdle, it means that people are now going to come onto the market. Don't forget those who are also coming in who are trying to lock in on a higher rate before it drops down. So all these things. But it is, the argument is that it's not just a factor, but a lot of things have contributed. So we shouldn't see it as this is why it's going down, because government is implementing prudent measures and that is why the rates are going down. All these factors have contributed to the rate going down. But also, you wouldn't take away the fact that government's appetite not to take more is also contributing as well.
You end on a note that I agree with you. The fact that, look, the whole thing about lending rates and everything is confidence. And, you know, the risk associated with the, borrower. Okay. So if Kojo Yangsing is a non-risky client, if I give Kojo Yangsing money and I expect Kojo Yangsing to pay back, I probably would say, okay, you know what, Kojo, I know you are going to pay me back. So there's no risk. There isn't much risk, attached to you. So I give it to you, say, 3%, 2%. If DJ Wobete comes to me and I say, maybe DJ Wobete is risky, is a risky person.
He is.
So why not take, say, 15% from him? Yeah. If there is evidence of DJ Wobete owing and not paying, I also would say, no, hold on a minute. That makes him risky. What's the proof that he's going to pay? Now, the moment there's a change in government also, there's some bit of
confidence in the economy.
Within the economy.
Yeah.
And the government also did something right by rejecting the oversubscribed bonds. Mm-hmm. In the past, we would take them. And then we would go and then struggle to raise more, and we say we were not able to meet our target. Mm-hmm. That in itself convinces me that if I am not sure, because you roll over consistently, if I am not sure, the next time you may not be able to give me this. So what do I do? Mm-hmm. Hold my guns for a higher rate. Mm-hmm. The point is that once government started on this note, it is to be expected that people would have some renewed confidence again. Mm-hmm. What we must look forward to is sustaining this confidence.
Yeah.
And so beyond 3-6 months, would that be the situation?
The budget that will be presented on March 11, 2024 would also be a very significant factor here for people to see what will be government's plan going forward when it comes to its spending. The talk about reining in expenditure, cutting down, are we going to see that in the budget? And also, investors going to be convinced by measures the government is going to put in place to try and raise the required revenue. But if you engage most of these market players, the argument is that a lot of things have played into what we are experiencing right now, and not just one thing. But also, I want to stress that point, that you cannot take it away from the fact that government is not accepting all these bids. And that is also a strategy that is used by government to try and drive down the rates.
Yes.
But for it to put across that it is only just one factor, I think that it might not be fair if you want to look at the whole picture. but also that you see that the T-bills are the most, the best investment, you know, maybe a more lucrative investment product out right now, even though that is debatable. So everybody wants to put their money into this.
I'm just looking forward to the results, the effect of it. If indeed it becomes cheaper for businesses to access capital, then it means we can expect some more growth in our economy. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I certainly look forward to the next policy rate, discussions. That's the most important thing for me in all of this. But Sophia Akufo questions Ghana's policy on extractive agreement, book on company law, best practices launched, and 32 years on, Parliament yet to establish public interest committee. A story on page 13 of the Daily Graphic says that, look, the immediate past chairman of the Public Accounts Committee of Parliament, Dr. James Kluchaveji, has called on the government to take deliberate steps to strengthen the operations of the Internal Audit Agency. Doing so should be part of measures to help keep the recurring financial irregularities, infractions, and general indiscipline on the books of public institutions, he explained in an interview. And, talking about Parliament, because I don't know whether you are aware, but Ghana lost, a former clerk to Parliament, S.N. Dakwa. We've spoken to him before here on the Super Morning Show. Yes, S.N. Dakwa.
It's terrible news.
Yes. You know, a former clerk of Parliament. He passed away aged 91. Mm. So may God bless his soul and keep him.
We thank him for his contribution to Ghana.
Yes, and our condolences to the family. Emmanuel Dakwa, who's no stranger to this show. Emmanuel Dakwa and your family, our condolences to you. Okay, so finally, stop photocopying Ghana cards of customers. BOG warns banks.
Let's do the Ghanaian Times.
I'd be interested in why.
Okay, let me bring you details of that story.
Sorry about that, George. Yes, this is, I think, good for public education.
And it says that the Bank of Ghana has warned banks to desist from photocopying the national identity cards of their clients for transactions, as such a practice would attract sanctions. According to the central bank, biometric verification remained the standard process for identity authentication.
That's right.
Authentication. So it's simple. Mm. If you walk into a bank, the last time I walked into a bank, I was just asked to, they checked my biometric and said details and said, okay, this is, you just put your thumb on. And then it gives you everything. Mm. So why do we have to photocopy? Really?
Yeah, pointless. What's the idea? I mean, why do you need a copy of the person's identification? You just need to verify it, right? You have it on your system. You have his biometric data. His or her biometric data. So just scan his eye or his thumb or whatever it is that you are asked to do to ensure that it's him, and then get on with it, right? Okay, makes sense. Thank you. George?
Let's do the Ghanaian Times now. Channel Hajj profits into charity. Preston direct tax force. Government's position on free SHS assuring, and also Galamsey fight timetable for workable solution.
What's the government position that is assuring?
That is the position on free SHS. It says that the executive director of the Charles Wright International, Mr. Bright Appiah, has commended President John Mahama for his unwavering commitment to Ghana's free senior high school program. He described the president's stance as a crucial step in ensuring equal access to quality education for all Ghanaian children. The statement signed by Mr. Appiah, he says that he strongly opposed to suggestion from some stakeholders that boarding students should start paying for their accommodation and feeding. He cautioned that any such move will undermine the core objective of free SHS policy, which is removing the financial barriers to secondary education. That's coming from right up here as well. Why he thinks that Galamsey Fire, Reverend Nana Sapon says the Galamsey Fire time for a workable solution, not a blame game. And the National Lottery Authority Director General, that is Mohammed Abdul Salam.
I need to say something about this Galamsey thing, and I was listening to the news. Look, we need to get serious. Today, immediately there was a change in government. And we've done these stories here, Kojo. People who belong to the NDC had felt that it was their time to illegally mine in this country. But that only gives you a signal of how we do our politics in this country. It tells you one thing. It tells you what politicians say to us openly and what they say when they meet party people. If we are going to be able to deal with this, all of us, including those who are taxed, you see, I went round, we are going to stop it, is not what matters. Get to the ground. And I still insist that today, this government, if it wants to stop illegal mining, in 1 week it will. Because this is a government that says that they would actually release persons and go after the big fishes, because they are the ones, they are the brains behind illegal mining. I tell you one thing, if they want to find them, they will find them. They know those who are involved in illegal mining. They should go after them, and it will stop in no time.
We should start asking ourselves a few questions. Could it be that the amounts of money, the volumes of money that is made from illegal mining are beyond our imagination? Like, no matter how much you think they are making, it's more than that. That the amounts are just so large that nobody is immune to the influence of it. Could it just be that? Could it just be that from presidents down, nobody can resist the amount of illicit money that is available to them just as long as they do nothing about illegal mining? Could it be that our land is so filled with gold, so filled with it, there's so much money to be made, that it is simply illogical for any government to fight it?
Your morning radio.
Us over the phone is Professor John Gachi. He's an economist at the University of Cape Coast Business School, and he's one of the organizers of the summit. Prof, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for making the time. I know you're very busy this morning, but tell us how things are shaping up at the conference center.
Well, guests are sitting gradually, and at around 9 o'clock, the program will start with the welcome address by the chairman of the planning committee, Dr. Ishmael Yamson. Then after we, Dr. K.Y. Amwaku will provide setting the scene, indicating the path to transformation of the economy. Then we'll have the finance minister give us detailed but brief account of the state of the economy, focusing not only on the challenges of the economy, but the opportunities available for the economy in this challenging time. Then the president will give the keynote address that will end the first session. Then after which, we'll break into six thematic areas on restoring macroeconomic stability, chaired by Dr. Paul Akwa. And then Leslie Duarte Manson is a technical presenter with people like Professor Abo and the rest from academia, industry, and the rest contributing to the discussion there. Then we also have a private sector-led group. We will have restoring good governance and combating corruption. Dr. Akwete will be chairing, Franklin Kujo will be presenting, the people who deal with the anti-corruption and governance space will be in the room for the discussion. We will also have structural reforms and policy reforms that will be chaired by Dr. K.K. Sapon and Dr. Ali Flynn. Afetogbo of the IPP chamber will be presenting with the private sector, the energy sector player discussing. We'll have a section for private sector-led growth. And then we'll have another section for growth with deaf. And over here, we are talking about issues of inclusiveness, sustainability, diversification, export expansion, deploying technology in production processes, and also ensuring progressive productivity in the Ghanaian economy and making the Ghanaian economy competitive, and also to focus on an approach to developing human capital of the country.
Right. So what are we hoping to get out of this? Talk us through the general objectives and outcomes that we are hoping for by the end of this summit.
I think three things. One, to better appreciate the situation we find ourselves in. Number two, to develop a consensus solution that will feed into the 2025 budget and will feed into medium to long-term design of economic agenda, economic transformation of the country. And that will be spearheaded by the National Development Planning Commission, and certain areas will influence activities at the sectoral levels. And that is why tomorrow session, we have a session called High-Level Dialogue, where the ministers of the productive sectors will come out with their takeaway from the various sections that they participated in, and get clarity about what we have agreed on so that that can influence their implementation. Already the president has given strong indication of complying with the recommendations, and then the recommendation guiding the medium to long-term agenda of the country.
But Professor Kachi, talking about better understand where we are as a country, the president in the State of the Nation address makes the point that his discovery is indicated in a we are in a worse position than he anticipated. Is it not clear that we know where we are as a country? Do we still need, as part of the objectives of this dialogue, to explore that?
Yeah, the president makes a statement that give a qualitative in many of the cases. But here the finance minister will be providing us some details why we are in a mess, especially in debt management. Debt management is not only about the debt figure, it's about the debt approach, the mechanism, the institutional setup of debt management in the country. So all those things will come up. And when we talk about the fiscal, it's not only about debt to GDP. There are more issues about fiscal numbers that will have to tell the story. So I believe that is what the finance minister will be doing. So I'm not sure that what the president did was exhaustive. It provides more space for the finance minister to fill.
Is this not something that will be captured in the budget come 11th March?
Of course, some of the issues will be captured in the budget, but some of the issues have to do with the structure. Some of the issues have to do with the long-term implication of some of the engagements. So you are right, some of the issues will be captured in the budget, and some of the issues will have to guide us into the future.
And you say part of
and I believe that is the reason why that portion of his statement is not only indicating the problems, but is also going to highlight the opportunities that these problems present to us.
Now, okay, you say that these, some of the discussions, the recommendations are going to be factored into the 2025 budget. You've also talked about, as a country, how you want us to go. Now, we're getting ready for a budget in a week's time. What is captured in the budget, what government intends to do, can actually give us an indication as to how government wants to go. Some have suggested that if we want to do, isn't it obvious that many of the recommendations we are making today may not be included in the budget. And so the timing of the dialogue itself is problematic.
I don't agree. You must start at a point and move into the long term. So the budget is actually a short-term program. But the programs within the budget has a short-term gestation, long-term gestation period. So if you don't start at a point and the future, those that will go into this year's budget and those that will go into future arrangements, then it means that you have not got grips of what the issues are. So I don't think I buy into that.
Talking about future programs, do I get the indication that in having this conversation also, you're not just thinking about the 2025 budget, but you're thinking about the medium term?
Exactly so.
So in that case, there's a huge possibility. Oh, we've lost.
We lost the connection. We must apologize. There is some very serious problem with telecommunications this morning, particularly with MTN. We are told that they are working on issue.
Yeah, we're told that they've actually resolved it now.
Has it been
resolved? MTN, okay. And they issued a statement that says that MTN sincerely apologizes to its customers for the difficulties faced in accessing our services earlier this morning. The issue has been resolved, and we truly appreciate your patience and understanding.
That's good Thank news. You. Okay, so I think we have Professor Gachi back on the line. You were asking.
So I was asking the question. Now, do I get the do I get a suggestion that what you're doing now, a lot of the things that you're discussing today may not be included in the 2025 budget?
Yeah, I indicated already the part will be included in the 2025 budget, that is sure, and the rest will influence the medium to long term.
Okay.
And various reports have indicated to Ghana that most of our approaches are short-term. And so we don't want to be saddled with this short-term approach. We need to focus on the long-term. But the long-term, we definitely will have to start from the immediate term.
I listened to the sort of sub-themes for the breakout sessions. Is there one of them that will be dealing in particular with revenue collection and how to, widen the tax net?
Yes, all those things are under restoring macroeconomic stability. So revenue, it deals with the fiscal, all those things will be discussed, that. And some of the new approaches to dealing with some of the fiscal issues will be firmed up over there. For example, it is conceived that we need to take a different approach to the grant of exemptions, for example. So those ideas will be discussed into details there and be firmed up.
Now, as a team also, I know that you may have met and taking a position even beyond the planning for this dialogue, you would have taken a position on the state of the Ghanaian economy and what needs to be done. Tell us, as a team planning for this, what your idea about where we are and what needs to be done is.
I think my idea at this point should not be relevant. We have planned for people to come and discuss about the economy. Let us wait for them to do the discussion and come out with the recommendation. If not, so I'll be that would not be fair to the dialogue.
But Professor Gachi, you've said that people are coming to share their views. You also be there. You'd also, I'm sure you take part in some of the discussions. So it's just telling us what your idea is. We all have ideas.
I will be supervising and monitoring and ensuring that things are in good shape.
Okay. Now, post the dialogue, when are you expected to present your final report and recommendations?
In fact, because we are minded that parts of the items should influence the 2025 budget, We have three rapporteurs, each professional rapporteurs for each of the thematic areas. So by close of Friday, we have the first recommendation that we receive, and then see which one will go into the budget. And by 20th of this month, we are working very hard to see whether we can conclude on the recommendation.
When you say we would see which one is likely to go into the budget, my thinking is that you look at the feasibility of those recommendations, and then a decision will be made, right?
Of course, yes. The recommendations are made to us, and then we have to take decision on the recommendations.
When you say the recommendations are made to us, who are the us?
The planning committee is the one who engaged all the various stakeholders in the engagement. So the report will come to us, and then we will also transmit it through the finance minister to the government.
Prof, have we had any indication from the opposition parties that they will be participating in this forum?
I think we have seeded the giving of invitation to the Chief of Staff's office. So I am aware that we have given them invitation, but response to the invitation, I am not aware, even though I am privy to media discussion that some people are saying they will not attend. I do not know whether those people are close with the authority to speak on behalf of the party that they will not attend. So I have not heard the party itself say that they will come or they will not come. So I'm not in position to elaborate on that.
But of course, we've seen some appointees in the previous administration, being asked to chair some of the committees. I mean, in previous NPP administration, being asked to chair those committees. But let's get to the ask.
I think those people are not invited because they are NPP members.
No, I didn't say that. I'm just making reference to appointees. Yes, but I'm looking at the planning committee. Quick one before we wrap it all up. I know you have to get back to work.
Yes, exactly.
You're saying these recommendations will be presented to you, and then when they are presented to you, then you will take a decision on the recommendations you believe should be included in the budget, right?
A recommendation is recommendation, and that will be transmitted.
It would not include, say, what you agree or what you think should be included in the budget immediately and what you think should be in subsequent budgets?
That will be the work of the finance minister. The framework of budget is ready. To pick what item to go into the budget is just a matter of an hour's decision.
And so on Friday, we expect this to be ready, and we expect it to be part of the budget to be read on Tuesday.
Yes.
Professor John Gachi, because of your time also, let's get back and have this conversation again. We know that you're busy now. Thank you very much for making time to
speak
with us.
I'm very grateful.
All right, that's Professor John Gachi. He's an economist with the University of Cape Coast's famed and celebrated School of Business.